Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to a radio show that will test the limits of a whole bunch of things we can't really say on the air. This is Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It is 10:03. My name is Joey Vendetta. Hour number two, in for Jeff Blair. Man, there's so much going on. It is a good time to be an NBA player, isn't it? How about these numbers? You want some numbers? Kawhi Leonard, $90 million for 5 years. Kevin Love, $109 million for 5 years. Jimmy Butler, $95 million for 5 years. That's actually a great deal for Chicago. I think there's an opt-out after the third year. Always good to have an opt-out. Jimmy Butler was arguably the most valuable player on the Bulls. Just a stud. Because Derrick Rose, you just don't know, right? I mean, you want Jimmy Butler in your backcourt. 5 year max contract. I think it's the fourth year he gets to opt out if he wants. But again, these numbers are insane. Draymond Green is back with the champs in Golden State. And LeBron James is just sitting back. And he's saying, Dan Gilbert, remember when you wrote that letter about me leaving Cleveland? LeBron James has one eye on Dan Gilbert at all times. So he's sitting back. He's not signing anything for a minute. Iman Shumpert got $10 million a year. Iman Shumpert. At that price, I love the Damari Carroll signing. Talk about that a little bit more. We'll talk about Phil Kessel. Take your calls once again, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your Rogers cell phone. Mike Wilner joins us now at Wilderness590 on Twitter. Always entertaining. If you listen to the post-game show, it's always fun. Mike is willing to be extremely patient with you and nurture you through the caller segments. Mike, thanks a lot for doing this. How are you today?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
I'm well. How was your Canada Day? Did you have fun at the park yesterday? That looked like a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time at the park yesterday. I did have a lovely time. It was a fun game. Fun game to watch, fun game to do. It was very nice.
I love the uniforms. I have to say, I just love the Canada Day uniforms. And I know it's Canada, and it was cool. It was classy of the Red Sox, too, to have the Canadian flag patch on their uniforms. I thought that was a pretty nice touch.
I do, too. They're never going to do it again after giving up 11, but it was very nice of them to do it, for sure. And I like the Jays uniforms, too. I think, you know, I'm not sure that I'd seen it. I know that a lot of people have a better memory of stuff like this than I do, but I think this was the first time that the Jays did it this way, with just the white shirts and the red, red everything instead of the blue, as opposed to the red shirts or Canada on the back or whatever. I really liked what I saw yesterday, those uniforms.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Great atmosphere. And later on in the game, there was the outbreak of the spontaneous outbreak of O Canada, which I know you enjoyed pretty much, right?
I did. They just started belting it out in the outfield in the ninth inning. It was very cool. Also, a cool thing that if you watch the game on television, you would not have seen was, and I have to give props to whoever came up with this in the scoreboard room, but in between, like in the second inning, in between innings, there was a thing on the video board that was coach or couch, and what they had was a tight shot of some sort of pattern, a design, and you had to guess if it was a couch, basically from the 1970s, or a piece of one of Don Cherry's jackets, and it was hilarious.
Because Cherry was on the broadcast with Zahn and Campbell, and I mean, look, it's like the battle of the monster trucks as far as suits go when Zahn and Cherry are next to each other.
Yeah, I think Zahn's trying pretty hard to be the baseball version of Don Cherry, and as far as clothing and bluster go, he's getting there for sure. But yeah, it is. I was surprised; it was pretty subdued from Don. It was just a loudish blue jacket with a bunch of tiny little Canadian flags on it yesterday. But it definitely can get, you got to turn down the contrast on your television when the two of them are on together.
The All-Star weekend's coming up, the All-Star kind of beginning of the week, because it's not a full weekend, but it's the Josh Donaldson gaining and becoming the top vote getter, and I guess justice is served. Don Cherry had a lot to do with it. We know that he took up the cause and a bunch of other Canadian athletes, and of course, Blue Jay fans took up the cause in a big way. Incredibly rewarding. I'd have to say that Donaldson, in my mind, is the most valuable player on this team so far this year. A couple of honorable mentions, but Josh Donaldson just means so much to this team. And yesterday, again, as a team, the bats lit up. I mean, Reyes went 4-for-5 with 4 runs, but Donaldson, again, 3-for-5, homer, 2 ribbies, just another great day.
Yeah, you know what? He had his little slump, and now he's out of it. He was 4-for-30, I think. And I think since then, he's something like 10-for-25, hitting .400. He's been fantastic. Really, really worthy of the All-Star nod if he gets it. And the voting ends tonight at 11:59. So today's the last chance for people to vote. Although they should be voting for Russ Martin and Jose Bautista too. But Josh Donaldson has made such a leap the last 2 weeks in All-Star balloting. It's hard to imagine that he doesn't wind up with that starting nod. I don't know that there'd have been a big push for Mike Moustakas over the last 3 days. But he's a huge piece. And the Jose's are a huge piece, too. It's interesting that, the Reyes and Bautista were both in these huge slumps, and the Blue Jays stopped scoring runs. Reyes was something like 3-for-25 going into yesterday's game. Bautista was 0-for-24. They had 6 hits yesterday, and the Jays score 11 runs. Donaldson, I don't know that there's one guy who's super important to everything because there are so many hitters, but it really, for me, it's interesting that that when the Jose's hit, the team scores a bunch of runs. But Donaldson, too. I mean, Donaldson is a huge, huge part of this thing.
And as you said, it's the last chance today to vote for your Toronto Blue Jays in the MLB All-Star Game. And look, Bautista broke out yesterday. He had a mini slump. I think it was like 0-for-25. 2-run shot, 16th homer of the season in the second inning. Cleared the wall pretty easily. Also added a double and a sac fly to finish with 3 ribs. And when the Jose's hit, this team wins. Burley seems to get, great, great run support. And If you look at the run support that Hutchison and Burley get, and then we go to tonight where Matt Boyd is going to be making his second start for the Blue Jays, and in his last outing I think he lost 4-0, and you would hope that he's able to get some run support tonight. But look, another guy that yesterday the two home runs, one from each side of the plate, is Justin Smoke, and as John Gibbons said, that's what we needed. We've been shut down the past few days, and it doesn't necessarily bode well for Miley tonight, starting pitcher for the Red Sox. But, the Jays right now, the Blue Jays are 11-5 against left-handed starters. They lead the majors with .306 average against southpaws. Reyes has been hitting very well, and Encarnacion as well against southpaws. And I think Russell Martin's like 3-for-12 against him in his career. And Boston, again, against left-handers, one of baseball's worst marks. So Boyd gave up 4 runs, 3 on solo homers his last time out, his first start. And he wasn't nervous. I think he handled himself pretty well considering, because after each home run, he settled down and got the outs he needed. But I think this is an important start for Matt tonight. And potentially this kid could work his way into the lineup, at least, as a guy that you can bring in for these spot starts. Because I know they're going to try and get Daniel Norris in for one before the All-Star break, hopefully, as well.
Yeah, they're certainly thinking about it, and I'll be honest, I don't know how Daniel Norris pitched last night in Buffalo, but if he had a good game, then he certainly helped himself because Alex Anthopoulos was there. As far as throwing a lefty at the Blue Jays, you're really taking your chances because You know, they have a lot of guys who just destroy left-handed pitching, and it's such a difference from last year. Last year, there were points in the season at which they were just completely lost against lefties, and they couldn't hit them at all. And, you were starting Juan Francisco against left-handers for a while there, and he was just awful. But now, I mean, you look up and down this lineup. Russ Martin kills lefties. Deonte Navarro kills lefties. Edwin kills lefties. Donaldson, Bautista, Colabello, they all kill lefties. So especially, crappy lefties. And I don't know if I would go so far as to say Wade Miley is a crappy lefty, but he's certainly not an especially good one. So it's their turn. You got to throw them, unless you're the Baltimore Orioles, where you send down your lefty in Wei-Yin Chen down to A-ball just to avoid pitching against the Blue Jays. And it worked for them because they wound up winning the series. They're the only team to beat the Blue Jays in a three-game series in June. But now, it would be very surprising to me, and not just because they scored 11 last night, but it would be very surprising to me if Matt Boyd didn't get any runs of support tonight, because you do have that lefty on, and you've got so many very good hitters. And Boyd did fine. It wasn't great, but he didn't walk anybody. Struck out seven guys. He got into the seventh inning. Like you said, it was solo homers that beat him. And he's a nice little piece. Maybe a nice little piece to be used in a trade for that really great piece. Or maybe, like you said, a piece to be a spot starter, a guy to pitch here and there, and a couple of years down the road, maybe be a bigger piece. But it was good to see what he did in his first start on Sunday, and hopefully he builds on that today.
Mike Wilner, our guest, at Wilderness590 on Twitter. Jays tonight against the Red Sox at the Rogers Center, and we have to actually congratulate our winner for today. We gave away some tickets, so congrats to Mark DeRoche of Barrie. He's going to the game tonight. Now, Mike, we mentioned Daniel Norris. He pitched well, but he left in the third down 3-0 because he slipped on the mound, and then there was a bunt single. But he actually, I think, gave up only one hit in three innings. So with Alex there, I think he pitched pretty well, even though he was down 3-0 when he left the game, not really due to his own fault. But look, with the situation in the starting lineup in terms of pitching and the starting lineup in terms of in the bullpen, and we've talked about the depth, and Osuna's kind of taking that closer role. Delabar's pitched pretty well. Cecil in his last outing pitched well. What's the pressure like heading into the All-Star break, if anything, at this point? I mean, Johnny Cueto won last night. He's 5-5. He may have pitched his last game for Cincinnati. What are you hearing in terms of pitching help? And has that talk quieted a little bit in terms of the – it seems to have settled a little bit in the bullpen. I mean, I know that can change at the drop of a hat, and Jays fans can be clamoring again to make this deal, but it still seems like a deal is being discussed. And as Alex said, things have thawed a little bit in terms of trade discussions.
Well, he got close in May, and things have kind of thawed for a while since then, but I think he's ramping up those discussions again, and I think the Blue Jays do badly want starting pitching help. I have Daniel Norris as pitching 7 innings last night and giving up six runs, 4 earned on 6 hits with 2 walks and a strikeout. So we seem to have conflicting information.
We have conflicting reports.
Yeah, I came and looked it up after I realized I didn't know and I should know. But for me, what stands out about Norris yesterday is he had one strikeout in 7 innings. And Alex Anthopoulos said before the game yesterday, the way to know whether Norris is pitching well is to look at the strikeouts. And when the strikeouts are up, regardless of all the other stuff, things are going right. So it doesn't appear as though he did what they wanted him to do yesterday, which doesn't mean that, he'll go again on July 6th in Buffalo, maybe, and if he pitches well, then that's 3 out of 4 good starts, and then he'll come up and do a spot start. But as far as the trade thing is going, they really, really, really want to add a starter, and they're trying very, very hard. We don't know who they got close on. Apparently, there was a position player, and there was a time in which the Blue Jays were looking pretty hard to add an outfielder. and there was a rumor about Ben Revere from the Phillies. There was another rumor about another outfielder, and I can't remember who. But there wasn't, it wasn't a loud rumor, but I think it was somebody that they got really close on back in May. But now, now you know, Colabello's kind of settled things. Carrera's kind of settled things. Bautista's back, and they really missed him in the outfield at the time. So they're concentrating on pitching, and they want to add at least one starting pitcher, and they want to add a really good starting pitcher. Johnny Cueto's a terrific name to mention. I don't think Cincinnati moves him before the All-Star break because they're hosting the All-Star team, among other reasons. I think jack the price up as well, or at least a lot of teams think that the later in, the closer to the trade deadline you get, the more you get back. I don't know if that's always necessarily true, but the Blue Jays definitely do want to add starting pitching, and they're working the trade market really hard.
Yeah, and as I didn't give the complete story on Norris. I was just talking about the third inning, which was particularly rough, but I'm glad that you sourced the information and gave us the full picture. Now, tonight, last night, the Yankees won, the Orioles won, the Rays almost got no hit by Carrasco. He was one out away from a
no hit. I know. It's the third time in a week they almost got no hit. It's crazy.
What are the odds of that? But you know, as we go, I think the All-Star break will serve as, you know, we know what it serves as. It's the half season mark. It's assessment time, and you got to be happy where the Blue Jays are. And who knew that the AL East? I mean, really, who knew that the AL East was going to be? It's incredible what's happened here, right? It was written off at the start of the year, but as far as you know, having teams with 40 wins, I think it's the only division in baseball. I mentioned this the other day, and I think that what it does, because of all these teams being in contention, it drives the price up of picking up something in the trade market.
Oh, I think it does too. Obviously, the more suitors you have, the higher your return is going to be. It's funny, we did talk about how mediocre the AL East was. I mean, people, there was a ridiculous assertion earlier in the season that, you know, you might win the division with 82. I don't think that's going to happen. But we've seen some ups and some downs, and they all got really, really, really hot at the same time. When the Blue Jays had their 11-game winning streak, they only picked up two or three games in the standings because everybody else was doing so well. And now, when they've all been playing kind of 500 for a while, everybody lost at the same time, a couple of games in a row, and I think what the division leader is like 4 games over 500 or 5 games over 500, and they're all packed in there, none of those teams have a great record, but they're all so firmly packed. You know that New York is going to be out there shopping hard. They don't have the prospect capital that the Blue Jays do. You know that the Orioles are willing to really, really spend to make a deal. Last year they traded Eduardo Rodriguez for 2 months of Andrew Miller. And look at Rodriguez now. He got off to a tremendous start, had 3 bad outings for the Red Sox. But, you know, he's 22 years old. He's pitching in the major leagues. So they're willing to go. Tampa Bay's got all kinds of prospects. They don't like to make those kinds of deals. Because generally they're the ones who are going young and cheap and building, and the Boston Red Sox are there too, and they're not out of it, and they've got a chance to make some big trades too. A lot of people thought Cole Hamels was going there. So, you know, if you've got the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays and the Orioles all calling about starting pitching because that's what they all need, then you can very definitely play them off against each other and raise that price.
Mike, thank you for being on the program. Once again, we will hear you tonight on the Sportsnet Radio Network across the country and, of course, on the Fan 590 right here. Thanks for doing this. And Jays talk after the game tonight, first pitch just after 7 o'clock right here. Thanks again, pal.
All right, Joey, anytime. Thanks.
That is Mike Wilner at Wilnerness590 on Twitter. It's Joey Vendetta here. And, you know, Daniel Norris, 1-8 in Buffalo. I mean, again, you're not going to put everything on the record, but 1-8 is 1-8. Josh Donaldson and Nelson Cruz have taken the lead at their positions, right? Omar Infante and Altuve are still in the race for the All-Star game, and we're talking about Donaldson now. Voting closes tonight. So if you haven't voted, vote. Go to MLB.com and vote. Go to TorontoBlueJays.com and vote. I don't see Josh Donaldson not starting the All-Star game. But you never know. Kansas City Royal fans are quite sneaky. Blue Jays, though, I must say, Blue Jay fans, you've done a fantastic job of closing the gap here. You are to be commended for this. It is 10:23. I'm Joey Vendetta, and you are listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan on your radio. You could be listening on fan590.com. And the Phil Kessel trade. We were taking your calls earlier. We'll take some more calls in the next segment here in hour number two. But a ton of stuff going on. Milos Raonic just destroying that ball at 145 miles an hour at Wimbledon. Pospisil right now is on the court. That match may be over. We'll get an update in our next sports update. But the Mike Richards situation that I touched on earlier in the week, some more details have come out. And those details are confirmed and published that he was stopped at the border and he was detained and questioned for 4 hours. Reports, TMZ Sports reporting, and listen, TMZ, they've broken their share of stories. They broke the Ray Rice story. He was stopped at the border on June 17th and questioned about the prescription drug oxycodone. Dean Lombardi caught by surprise. They were talking Edmonton and Calgary. Not that anything was going to get done at the draft, but they were talking. And we had Kings assistant general manager Mike Fiuta on earlier in the week, and he said that this is the worst mistake that Dean's made and that it's hurting the team. But what is this doing to Mike Richards? Yeah, he's a big boy. He's an adult. The NHLPA is going to appeal. Mike Richards won a gold medal. He's won two Stanley Cups. I've never heard a bad word uttered about Mike Richards. Right? The Kings, when they won their second cup, had some salary cap decisions to make. Lombardi came close to using their exemption to buy out Richards, and he didn't. He apparently went to Kenora, Ontario, where Mike lives in the offseason. And Mike said that I'm dedicating myself back to hockey. I mean, I don't know that he wasn't dedicated. We don't know what's gone on here. We don't know what kind of issues there may be. As I've said before, we all have our demons. We all have our issues. I just think that the LA Kings have convicted a guy and made their judgment, and they may know more than we do. But to fire a guy with cause, that's what this is, by the way. For those of you in layman terms, this is firing someone with cause. Right? Your boss has papered you, and then he fired you. That's what this is. They're voiding the contract. As Fiuta said here on the show earlier in the week, you know what? He's the one who has to look in the mirror with regard to his decisions. Having said that, how much were the LA Kings aware of? It doesn't sound like they were aware of this. But again, to void his contract without knowing exactly what happened. Strictly a salary cap move? And if it is, does it stink? By the way, Pospisil is up 2-0 in sets, but trailing Fabio Fognini 3-0 in the third. So does it stink is the question. Do you think it stinks? How you treat people. Justin Williams, by the way, signed with the Washington Capitals. Another Stanley Cup winner. And a man of incredible integrity. Mr. Game 7. Remember that nickname? That's his nickname. Mr. Game 7. So he signs with the Washington Capitals, who I think are going to lose Joel Ward. And they pick up a guy of, he's a winner. That's what he is. He's a winner. Won the MVP. They won the Stanley Cup. A great pickup. An absolutely great pickup. Matt Beleski signing in Boston. What's Don Sweeney doing? I mean, I get it. He had a good year. He had one good year. One. By the way, who did he play with? Is he going to make anybody around him better? Beleski signing in Boston. I mean, I guess they had to kind of fill the Lucic role. But, and again, it might turn out to be a fine deal. I think it was like $4 million bucks a year. Roughly $4 million bucks a year. Matt Beleski, does that name inspire a ton of confidence in you if you're a Bruins fan? If you're a Bruins fan, you got to be just PO'd right now. Dougie Hamilton? You let him go? Now, Lucic, I understand he's going to be a UFA after this season, and he basically ostensibly replaces Justin Williams in Los Angeles. But Matt Beleski signing a five-year deal with the Bruins? He's 27. He had 22 goals. I just... 3.8 million per season. That's what happens, right? It's all timing. Look at Damari Carroll signing with the Raps. Breakout year last year. Now he has history. He does have history. And he has that history with Masai Ujiri. Masai Ujiri gave him a shot. Would you like to see Mike Richards in Toronto? Once he gets through all this and the situation gets sorted, do the Toronto Maple Leafs offer him a contract? A one-year deal, because they are in the one-year business right now, folks. The Toronto Maple Leafs are your one-year stopover. Daniel Winnick, 1 year. Mark Arcabello, 1 year. Richard Ponick, 1 year. P.A. Parenteau, 1 year. And ideally, Mike Babcock, who's a great coach, great with young players, gets the most possible out of all these guys. And then the Leafs at the trade deadline trade everybody. With maybe the exception of Ponick. They pick up Scott Harrington, former London Knight, 4 years there. Hasn't shown a lot in the AHL, but was great in London. Smart, heads-up player, could turn out to be a two-way player. And look, the part of this deal that the Leafs really wanted, they wanted Kasperi Kapanen. They're going to have to be patient with this guy. Probably start with the Marlies. I would think. He has a shot at making the Leafs. It all depends. And then picking up Matt Hunwick, two-year, $2.4 million contract, sixth or seventh D in Toronto. It's the one-year stopover. Welcome to Toronto. We're going to take your calls next on Phil Kessel. The Phil Kessel era is over. Do you think the Leafs did well in the deal? Do you think they should have taken back salary? They took back $1.2 million for the term. Your thoughts on the other side, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your Rogers cell phone.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free.
Hi, this is Tyler Bozak of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and you're listening to Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590.
It is 10:40. Wimbledon, Pospisil in action right now. I didn't even mention this. What about the Women's World Cup? USA versus Japan on Sunday? Scoring in your own net is a really horrible way to lose. I don't know if you saw that yesterday. Oh, that is brutal. I don't care how many people console you. It's just terrible. NBA free agency. Everyone is cashing in. You're going to cash in too this morning. I have some Zach Brown Band tickets. September the 4th at the Molson Canadian Amphitheater and AC/DC tickets. September the 10th at Downsview. That's going to be crazy. We'll give those away a little bit later on. A couple of pairs. 416-870-0590. Don't call for the tickets yet. Call and talk to me about Phil Kessel and the trade. Who won? I don't think we're going to know for a while. Short term, I would think the Penguins won. There's a reason why Jim Rutherford made this deal. Jim Rutherford, as you can hear here, here's Jim Rutherford talking about Phil Kessel, right? And you got to look at this from the Pittsburgh perspective. As we sit around and say, oh, good riddance, vilify him, he canceled his hockey school. I'd cancel my hockey school too, by the way. I think he kind of reached his wit's end in Toronto with the media, all the talk. He just wants to play hockey. Yeah, you know what? There are just some guys that can't handle the glare. They don't want to handle the glare. He should have known that before signing his contract, but he wanted to stay here. He wanted to play here. He wanted it to work. He liked the Toronto, liked the city, liked the fans. Never heard him complain about the fans, complained about the media. Had some fun with it. And Mike Babcock said, our players will be accountable. They'll be in shape and they'll be accountable. I guess you could say that worked against Phil Kessel. There are those who say he's not in shape. Don Cherry said he should lose some weight. Well, when he goes to Pittsburgh, he's going to play with a number one center. A real number one center. Here's my problem with the deal. And maybe these guys are too far along in their development for the Leafs timeline. Because the Leafs timeline, by the way, it's 3 years before we even start to see the corner. Never mind turning it. We're not going to see the corner for 3 years. Look at who they signed. Here's Jim Rutherford talking about Phil Kessel. He's not concerned about Kessel off the ice, and he thinks he's a great fit on the ice.
I'm not concerned about how he deals with certain situations. All I'm concerned about is what he does on the ice and whether he fits our team. And I believe that he's a good fit for us.
And here's Rutherford talking about getting a cup, right? There's a window here for the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's kind of like the Raptors picking up Damari Carroll.
You have to Raptors, make a decision.
The Raptors aren't dissimilar from the situation in Pittsburgh. Here's Jim Rutherford talking about being all in to get the cup.
You have to make a decision as an organization. Are you going to go all in this window, or do you kind of build? And we answered that question today because we gave up some very good young assets to the Maple Leafs to get an established goal scorer.
Yeah, they did. But they didn't give up Olli Maatta or Derek Pouliot, who are their top young defensemen, right? Those are the two best prospects in Pittsburgh's system. With all due respect to Scott Harrington, he wasn't the top defensive prospect. Now, he wasn't the key component in the trade. Kapanen is now one of the Leafs' top prospects, instantly. He's right up there with Nylander and Marner. High skill level, can do some crazy things at high speed, played a top six role in the AHL, had a bit of a up and down season, but was good in the playoffs. And I guess that's really where you get to see a guy and see what he's really all about. Is he any good in the playoffs? We're going to go to Twitter before we go to the phone lines. And we have John Kitty 2. I think it's Kitty. Well, this is a start of the rebuild, as Shanny said at the end of the season, so get used to it. Campo 87, I will miss Kessel, but I'm glad we're showing a rebuild. Mike Fish, if Hunter wants to bring in old London Knights, I say free up locker space for Perry and Tavares, and maybe Kane. Justin Smith, the trade was never going to be about getting the most back, but more just moving on with the development of the team. As I've said this morning, one-year contracts. Look at the strategy of the Toronto Maple Leafs right now. They got some assets back. Okay, they gave up a second. They signed Winnick, and that, ironically enough, that's the pick they gave back. So Pittsburgh got the pick back. They signed Mark Arcabello. Had 17 goals and 31 points with Arizona. and Edmonton and Nashville and Pittsburgh. Arizona didn't qualify him. And the Leafs signed him for $1 million. Jersey filler. P.A. Parento's a guy that'll be motivated. He was on the morning show today with Blundell and Russick and talked about being motivated and being on the Toronto Maple Leafs. $1.5 million. He had 22 points last year in 56 games with the Habs. You would think that going back to his home, he'd be motivated. But now he gets to put a bit of a dagger in the Habs, right? Because, you know, look, Leafs-Habs rivalry, no matter how bad the Leafs are going to be this year, it's always, always a good game. Always. Just that sheer hatred. So we have that to look forward to and not much else. Because this is the one-year stopover team now. And then they'll reassess at the end of this year. We're going to go to the phone lines. Once again, they are open for your calls. 416-870-0590. 1-888-666-0590. Star 590 on your Rogers cell phone. Stay tuned in the next hour. I think we're going to get DeLon Wright on. He's not the newest Toronto Raptor, although Damari Carroll's not officially a Toronto Raptor because they can't make it. I mean, I don't know how much more official you can get than Damari Carroll tweeting We the North with a picture of Masai and Dwayne Casey and him. Or actually, it was on Instagram, whatever. It wasn't a selfie, at least. If he would have posted a selfie, I might have been out on Damari Carroll. But in line with what the market and what the Toronto Raptors' place in the market is, a four-year, $60 million deal for a swingman who had his best season and brings some grit, some defending. He's got a good three-point shot. And I think he's going to complement this team. They're not done yet, but they don't have much space left. They're going to have to make some moves. They've got probably $9 million left. They're going to have to make some moves. What's going to happen with Lou Williams? I mean, the bench is now depleted, right? Completely. Well, not completely, but mostly. Mike in Burlington is on the line. Mike, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Bellissimo. How are you?
Oh, wow. That's very nice. How was your Canada Day?
Pretty good. I mean, I'm not Italian background, but I didn't, you know, I thought I'd throw that your way as a, you know, token of respect. The Canada Day was can't complain.
Very respectful. By the way, there's a ton of great stuff going on this weekend. Speaking of Italian stuff, there's the Taste of Toronto, which I know that there's going to be a lot of Italian food there, and Summerlicious is going on, so there's a bunch of stuff going on this weekend. Salsa on St. Clair and the Corso Italia Street Festival, just in case you want to get out this weekend. Okay, pal?
My wife's half Italian, so I'm blessed with that food on a weekly basis, thankfully.
All right, so what do you think? Speaking of food, Phil Kessel deal.
Okay, first thing, I'm just going to slightly digress, and we'll jump into the meat and potatoes of the Kessel trade from yesterday. Leaf-Hab rivalry, buddy. It's not 1967 anymore. You gotta change that calendar.
What do you mean?
What are you talking about,
dude? Have you ever gone to Montreal and see how many Leaf jerseys are there still to this day? What do you mean?
Yeah, but those
there's not a rival. There's not a rivalry in terms of standings. Montreal's a far better team. I'm saying when those two teams play, it doesn't matter where they are in the standings. They hate each other, and
I've
it's a good
there.
Game.
The one time I was in Montreal when the Leafs were in was the day, it was a sad day, actually. It was when they hired Ulle and Trombley back in October of 95. But the Leaf fans in Montreal, when you see them at the Forum or now at the Bell Centre, I mean, those are primarily, or a majority of which, come from Ontario. Whereas I went with my daughter to the last regular season game this year down at the ACC when the Habs are in town, and when you talk to those hat fans around you, everyone, where are you from? Richmond Hill. Well, I'm from Mississauga. I'm from Oakville. I'm from Oshawa. You know, there's a difference.
Yeah, listen, Montreal has fans here in town. So what do you think of the Kessel trade?
I think you summarized it. I mean, the immediate advantage goes to the Penguins, hands down. However, like with any trade, when you're dealing with prospects, draft picks, it's a wait and see, and it could be a painful wait and see. Because I mean, you know, as an observer, yesterday, okay, a Hab fan, you know, you got two teams within your conference who just made a trade, so you want to pay attention to what's going on. I mean, I don't know. I'm just going to kind of summarize what the guys on the TV were saying in a combination of Doug McClain, Bob McKenzie, and Craig Button. Harrington, it was almost like all three of them pretty said he could be or should be a third-pairing defenseman, so you can forget about any potential all-star aspirations or dominant aspirations for that kid. You never know, though. Sammy Kapanen's son. Same thing. Like most Europeans, you get what you get. You get a guy that's skilled, smooth, and slick. But everyone also touched on how he's a bit of a perimeter player and lacks the right now. I mean, you can that changes with time. The upper body.
Yeah, but listen. And like, I appreciate the call. We got a break here. Kapanen's actually not afraid to play physical, and he plays defense. He's kind of more of a two-way player. He's not like if you want to talk about turning the calendar back. European players are completely different than the stereotype. So Kapanen's a guy that actually has incredible skill, but he's also not afraid to back check and. Also one of those guys that goes into the rough areas on the ice to play. So not a typical guy. We're going to take one more call here, and then we're going to have to take a break. We have Adam in Peterborough. Adam, how are you this morning? We got about 30 seconds. What do you think about the Kessel trade?
That's all I need, Joey. I'm good, thanks. One, I think Scott Harrington's going to be very well good. I'm a Pete season ticket holder. I saw him play for 4 years. He was a captain. I think in three to four years from now, he'll be in the top pairing. And secondly, I'm a Wings fan, but if you are a Leafs fan like my in-laws, you'll be very happy with one of the guys they picked up. No one's talked about it. He got an invite to the rookie camp. His name's Cam Lizotte. He was ranked 99th in the draft. He went undrafted. The kid's going to be a stud. He blocks shots. He's tough in the net. I'm surprised he did get drafted, but if you're a Leafs fan, watch out for him. He's going to be very good.
Well, listen, that's the only thing that Leaf fans have hope for right now is that the Kyle Dubas, Mark Hunter, Brendan Shanahan, three-headed management monster, better be incredibly good at assessing young talent because that's really where the strategy lies. The strategy lies on the future and assessing talent. And right now, as I said, they signed a bunch of guys to one-year deals that they can hopefully turn into assets at the trade deadline. I know I'm getting way ahead of myself, but that's what they're doing. It's really simple. You don't bring in these guys with an eye that they're going to stick around. Okay, Dan Winnick's on a one-year deal. Come on. P.A. Parenteau's on a one-year deal. Come on. What do you think this is? It's placeholder central. That's what it is. They got rid of their best scorer, their best player for the last 5 or 6 years. Say what you want about him, but Phil Kessel is by far the most dynamic player on the team. That's now Morgan Riley's role. Morgan Riley is now the most exciting player on the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's his mantle now. It's not anybody else on this team. Mike Babcock will probably get more out of these guys than Randy Carlyle did. But call it what it is. This is a full rebuild, full teardown, and this season, it's going to be ugly. There's going to be pain. That's Mike Babcock's quote. Babcock's quote, there will be pain. The Toronto Raptors are kind of in a different boat. Signing Damari Carroll and drafting DeLon Wright. I think we may have DeLon coming up next, but as well, we're going to take more of your calls. We want to hear from you on the Raptors. What do you think of Damari Carroll? Do you like it? Do you think they overpaid? 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your Rogers cell phone. Your calls, your thoughts, your tweets at Radio Vendetta coming up on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.